And I'm Hadley.
March is Women's History Month, so we're continuing our theme of female friendship with the movie Waiting to Exhale. Savannah, Bernadine, Robin, and Gloria are four besties who bond over the shortcomings in their love lives, namely the scarcity of good men. They support each other through divorce, affairs, gay exes, and eventually realize that their friendship with one another is the love that allows them to exhale. I have been looking for a New Year's rom-com, and this movie starts and ends on New Year's Eve, so fits the bill.
And it talks about resolutions, and I feel like this is the time of year that people start reevaluating their New Year's resolutions, so very appropriate time to do this one. Waiting to Exhale is a novel written by Terry McMillan, who also wrote How Stella Got Her Groove Back, which also had Angela Bassett in it. Terry McMillan told Angela Bassett that she wanted to have Angela Bassett for the lead role of Savannah, but Angela said she preferred Bernadine.
Oh, she was perfect as Bernie. Speaking of Angela Bassett, I heard she was snubbed at the Oscars.
Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actress, and Angela Bassett was nominated as well for Wakanda Forever.
Oh.
She didn't smile and clap like everyone else normally does, but I'm kind of like, you know what? Let her be bummed she didn't win.
Yeah.
Quit making this a big deal.
Whitney Houston is driving a convertible through Monument Valley on her way to Phoenix. I just had a work trip recently to Phoenix, and I loved it. I was really considering moving there for a hot sec. I'm so sad I didn't know about this before I went to Phoenix. Google is testing out self-driving Ubers called Waymo. And I am dying to try one out. I am so obsessed with the idea of self-driving cars. I think it's going to be way safer to have all self-driving cars where no people are controlling the wheels.
As these opening credits play, we see that Kenneth Babyface Emmons did the music. Forrest Whitaker directed this film. It was his first theatrical film. He and Babyface got together and planned all this music before shooting even began. And Babyface wrote the music for the scenes that they were going to film. And he wrote all the songs first, except for the ones that were done by other people, decided which artists were going to perform them. And then with input from Whitney Houston, they decided that all the artists should be women.
Love that. In like the beginning of the pandemic, when Avery Cyrus was first getting popular, she had a merch line called Babyface. And that is how I discovered the artist Babyface. I do really love how much this movie talks about how terrible men are.
I've got to read you this. Many criticized the film, claiming it didn't portray black men in the best light. While there were negative representations, Houston said that it wasn't male bashing, it was portraying men the way women had experienced them and known them to be. Terry McMillan said that the book and the subsequent movie are forms of entertainment, not anthropological studies, and her male critics need to stop being so immature and write their own books.
Any good man can acknowledge how terrible men are. Just like as a white person, I can acknowledge how terrible white people are.
So we get our little clip before we know who Angela Bassett's character is, who has this enormously long list of stuff she has to do and is tallying all that off in her head. Lila Rashan, who plays Robin, attracts all the men, but she's only interested in a certain type.
She is so beautiful. I mean, they all are.
They really are. This is a stunningly beautiful cast of women.
For real.
The women who were the leads apparently got along really well, but the media was like, oh, it's women, so they must not like each other. And when this came out, they tried to spin it like all these women didn't get along.
That's so dumb.
I know. Angela Bassett made her directorial debut directing Whitney, the Lifetime original about Whitney Houston. Aww. So like, they didn't like each other. I don't think she'd be directing a film about Whitney Houston. But they all got along really well. And they all gave a really touching tribute, it sounded like, to Whitney Houston back in 2012.
Aww. Savannah is doing a voiceover talking about men. She says, most men are deaf. True. They also can't read, apparently, because if you ever ask more than one question in a message, if you're lucky, they'll answer one. But most of the time, they answer none. Savannah also says, what they're best at is convincing us we should be desperate. I have seen a lot of TikToks about this. How men will be like, well, you're going to end up old and alone. You're going to be an old cat lady living alone or whatever. I'm like, okay. And that sounds fucking great. Okay. I like cats, and it means I won't have to be cleaning up after a man, so it's pretty peaceful. Oh, I also learned recently that spinster, although it's used in a derogatory way, it actually was originally used to describe women who were skilled enough that they made enough money independently and didn't need to rely on a man. I really like that. I'm never going to take it as an insult again if someone calls me a spinster. Not that anyone ever has, but, you know. I'd rather be alone than settle for some shitty dude, you know?
You shouldn't have to settle for anything. And as we can see from the men in this film, there are some really shitty guys out there.
I love this black dress that Whitney Houston has on.
She looks incredible.
There were several outfits where I was like, oh my God.
There was some good fashion in here. 70% of the crew was black. They wanted to keep the production as black as possible, they said.
Good. It's a very whitewashed industry.
It is. So Savannah is getting ready for a party that she was invited to by someone she's been talking to on the phone but hasn't met in person yet.
Bernadine is getting ready for a party
that she doesn't really want to go to.
And her husband comes in and he's like, I don't know that there's an appropriate time to tell you this. I was like, there may not be an appropriate time to tell her, but there is definitely an inappropriate time. And it is right before y'all are about to leave for a party after she has clearly spent a bunch of time getting ready.
Telling her that she doesn't have to go and then saying, oh, I want to bring someone else because she's going to be alone tonight. It's like, what?
Ugh, I was furious during this scene. I would set his fucking car on fire too.
He declares that he's leaving her.
And for a white woman.
Which we find out, it seems like he kind of wants to whitewash his life.
I've been watching Harlem. It's a TV series on Amazon Prime about four black women who are friends. Creator Tracy Oliver said she had the idea for the show because she felt there weren't a lot of black female friendship stories on the air. And she wanted to portray people in their 30s who are still searching for their path in life. It's such a good show.
It sounds like it. And in a few months, I'm going to also be 30 searching for my path in life. So relatable.
They talk about it being kind of a betrayal for a black man to date a white woman, especially if he's leaving a black woman for a white woman. That, like, adds extra hurt.
I'll have to go watch this show.
It's really good. Plus, I like, this is a spoiler for season two, but two of the four are queer.
Oh, nice.
Then we go to Robin.
Robin's played by Lila Rochon. Halle Berry and Robin Givens both auditioned for the role of Robin, but Forest Whitaker decided that after he'd cast Whitney Houston and Angela Bassett, since they are such big names, he wanted to go for lesser-known actresses for Robin and Gloria, even though Loretta Devine, who plays Gloria, played Laurel in the original Broadway production of Dreamgirls. So she already had a little bit of recognition, but not the same as Whitney Houston or Angela Bassett. With Robin, I love that we see the scene of her talking to her dog. I don't have a dog, but I know if I did, I would be chatting with it all the time.
Oh, I talk to Jean all the time. My dog, Jean.
I totally forgot she had a dog from this scene until the last scene.
She's complaining about a Pisces man. I don't know from experience, but I have heard that Pisces men are terrible.
I don't know if I know any Pisces men, and if I ever meet one, I'll report back.
But the women are great, so I'm not biased or anything.
No, this is a pro-female Pisces podcast. Speaking of which, there's a meme that I saw right after we announced that we were going to do Waiting to Exhale that's about Virgo, but it's Angela Bassett walking away from the car on fire.
That scene is the whole reason I wanted to watch this movie. I was surprised it happened so early.
I was too.
Then we go to Gloria,
who's making dinner for her son, Tyreek, played by Donald Faison. He's on Scrubs.
Apparently this is Donald Faison month.
That's what I was thinking too.
Totally on accident. I don't know why, but her voice is much higher than I expected.
Same. And I recognize her voice from somewhere. And I went through her whole IMDb, but I can't figure out where I know her from. I saw she was on an episode of Psych, so it might be that. Psych, I think you would probably like more than Scrubs.
Yeah, probably.
Psych has Dule Hill in it.
Who was that?
He was on the reboot of The Wonder Years. He's on West Wing. He was in Holes.
What? Who was he in Holes?
Oh, gosh. Let me look it up. He was Sam the Onion Man.
Oh. Okay, I know who he is. He got killed in Holes for kissing a white woman.
I remember he played kind of like a ghost guy. We're talking to Gloria, and she says that Tyreek's dad is coming home for the first time in 2 years, and Tyreek is not thrilled. I think Donald Faison plays a good angsty teenager.
Yeah, I don't love the language he uses when he finds out his dad is gay, but other than that...
No, that was not good. But I did like that Gloria said, I don't use that word. And I was like, thank you.
Yes, I appreciated that a lot. I made a note of that. I was like, thank you, Gloria.
Also, I think we have to remember, too, that this is the 90s. Mm-hmm. And people got away with a lot more back then that they should not have gone away with. Savannah goes to the party and sits down with a table of strangers, which I'm very impressed by.
Very bold. I loved her inner monologue, though, when they were all staring at her judgingly. She was like, y'all are worried I'm going to steal your man. Well, maybe I will. Wasn't going to, but once you started being rude to me, maybe now I will.
Her inner monologues were so good.
Yes.
Lionel shows up, who's played by Jeffrey D. Sams, dances with her.
I didn't understand the title of the movie until she says that she exhaled, like pretending that he was hers. And I'm glad that they introduced that idea so early in the movie. I was like, oh, okay, that's the point of this, is that they're all trying to find their man that allows them to exhale.
Yeah, I'm really glad they introduced it early because I had no idea. But then some girl shows up to dance with Lionel.
Oh, sus.
She's like, I'm out. I know he comes back later, and she has my favorite inner monologue.
Gloria and Robin are at the hair salon where they hear about Bernadine getting left for a white woman.
Gloria immediately wants to call and check in on her. And since we just did Girls Trip, which is another group of four women, Robin gave me slight Dina vibes, like more reined in.
Ready to go to bat for her friend.
Everyone needs one of those in a friend group, so I'm glad they've got that.
Poor Bernie. We cut to her crying and being mad.
My heart broke for her, but also good riddance to that guy.
Yeah, seriously. I wrote, she is too beautiful to be crying over this shitty dude. She deserves so much better. Her feelings are valid. Don't get me wrong. Cry all you need to, but he does not deserve your tears.
I love this scene so much. So she goes through and pulls all of his stuff out of his closet.
Yes.
Puts it in his car.
She uses a wagon.
Yeah.
I thought of you when she pulled out the wagon.
Oh, yeah, because I have my wagon to get from my car to my apartment.
I was like, who has a wagon? Just at the ready. I mean, she has kids, so whatever. I was like, oh, Hadley has a wagon.
She has this monologue going throughout this whole time that she's pulling stuff out of the closet. She talks about how she has an MBA and helped him start his business and wanted to start a catering business. This whole monologue was improvised by Angela Bassett.
Wow.
I feel like I'm an Angela Bassett fangirl. I love her so much.
Yes. Same.
She's so talented, so beautiful.
I'll be in that fan club with you. She was like raging in this scene. So it made me think of Big Mouth, because Hormone Monster has a line where he says, rage, rage, fucking rage. I was like, that is perfect for this scene.
Big Mouth is such a good show.
It is.
I'm glad she burns the car and everything. But at the same time, throughout this whole movie, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to go through a divorce. If he tries to get your kids, this isn't going to reflect well on you.
That is a good point. I didn't even think about that.
I'm really glad they didn't bring that into this. Because, you know, the woman always gets looked at in a much different lens than a man for custody stuff. And it's like, she's lighting his car on fire. She's going into his office, attacking people, and then yelling at him in a workplace.
That's true.
Trying to call him drunk and complain about her problems. She's hooking up with a married man. Like, if it came to a custody battle, I feel like it would look bad on her, even though he's the one that cheated on her and left her.
When she burns the car and walks away, though, she looks so gorgeous. I love that they made her look so good in this scene.
Me too. I feel like this should inspire every person walking away from a fire.
The firefighters show up and say, it's against the law to burn anything other than trash. And she says, it is trash.
And then he says something about next time. She's like, there won't be a next time, and slams the door. All while she's leaning against the door jamb, smoking her cigarette.
She looks so calm.
I can't imagine anyone else playing this character.
No, she does such a good job.
She's so good. I love her so much.
We cut to Robin.
Robin is about to hook up with Michael, who's played by Wendell Pierce. She's having so many negative thoughts about him. All I could think of is, why is she doing this? She clearly doesn't have any interest in this guy, finds him kind of repulsive. Why is she hooking up with him?
I like the arc we see with her in this movie because she seems to find her worth.
She has very awkward sex with Michael, who opens a condom with his teeth. So again, don't do that for anyone listening.
I noted that also.
This is such awkward sex.
Men are so obtuse.
She deserves someone way better. The first two sex scenes we see in this with Robin and Michael, and then later Savannah and Lionel. It's like these guys are just, for lack of a less crass term, they're just like, okay, stick it in. Let's go. That's not how this works. Michael says he can give Robin everything she wants and more, which is a house and kids and stability. And she seems kind of into him after that, which, don't settle, Robin, because this is settling.
You can do way better, Robin. You can get all those things from someone you're actually attracted to also.
Exactly. Savannah goes over to Bernie's house, and Bernie's watching old videos of her and her ex, John, which was very sad. She seems less like, I loved him and he left me, and more of a, I gave him 11 years of my life and this is how he repays me.
Yeah, it's not even that she was head over heels for him. She regrets all the sacrifices that she made in her own life.
She made a lot. He seemed to expect a lot of sacrifices from her. And then he left her.
If you're going to make sacrifices, it should be equally sacrificial. There should not be one of you that is making a lot of sacrifices to a point where you're not even happy. Because then if it doesn't work out, you're going to regret doing all those things.
Because, you know, he didn't make any sacrifices. Instead of sacrifices, it has to be compromises.
No one should really be sacrificing in a good relationship.
No one should be sacrificing, and no one should be asking you to sacrifice. Tyreek's dad, David, shows up, who's uncredited.
He's uncredited?
So was another big name in here, too, but played by Giancarlo Esposito. But he's in Breaking Bad. He's in a lot of things, but that's where I know him from.
Oh. He comes out as bisexual and then gay and then abandons his son.
He says that Tariq has to make the first move now to see his dad. And it's like, you're the adult in this relationship. You need to make the effort.
Especially since he has clearly not put in very much effort at all throughout Tariq's life.
He shows up every 2 years and Tariq's 17. So like he hasn't seen him that much. And he doesn't even stay at the house when he stays there, which, I don't know, if you stayed somewhere else before and you weren't interested in Gloria, why didn't you tell her then? You realized you weren't interested in Gloria, so establish that.
Mm-hmm. Bernie is having a garage sale, selling all of her husband's stuff for $1.
I love that so much. That car, the skis.
I love that car.
I do too. I would buy that for $1.
I also love the sundress she has on.
Her kids break something and they're like, oh no, and she just laughs.
I love that they're all just laughing.
Yeah. It's such a good scene. Also something that I feel like if you were to go to custody battles, that would not reflect well on you either. But we don't have that problem in this movie, so it all works out just fine.
I feel like custody battles, you should just ask the kids who they want to be with.
Sometimes I feel like kids would be like, I'm just picking a random parent here, but daddy, because we get to eat pizza and play video games and watch TV. And it's like, wait, I feel like the kids should have an input, though, for sure.
Especially these kids, because they would obviously choose Bernie. I love later when the dad is dropping them off and the boy doesn't even want to hug him goodbye. And he tries to give the girl a doll and she like runs off.
She's like, thanks for the doll. Bye. I hope that they can eventually, after the end of the movie, I'm hoping they can get to a place in a few years where they can co-parent fine for their kids.
I think it's clear that Bernie has been the main parent who actually parents them. The dad seemed like he was pretty absent building his company or whatever. So I would hope that in the future, he would also learn how to get more involved in his kids' lives.
Me too. And I'm glad he's not as involved anymore because it sounds like he was trying to whitewash their lives. I feel like trying to erase your heritage and your culture is just not great, but then also trying to push that on your children so they don't have the connection to that is worse.
I think obviously there's power, unfortunately, with being white, and proximity to power makes you feel safer. You're like, I'm on your side. Like me. Don't treat me poorly. I'm different. So maybe that was his goal, which obviously not saying I agree with that, but I think like psychologically that makes sense. Like he wants his kids to be safe, and maybe that was his way of doing that.
We get to Savannah and Lionel. I love this scene in Savannah's head. The actual scene is kind of, ugh. Lionel's kind of a bum.
I wrote that too.
He's super cheap about everything. It sounds like all he does is smoke weed all the time. Doesn't have a job.
And uses her toothbrush without asking. You should definitely ask first. And I don't want it to be like an every time thing.
Lionel hops right on in and just starts having sex with her. And he starts making all these growling noises.
Her face when he's growling is so funny.
And her inner dialogue, like, what? Am I a zookeeper now? She's so funny. Oh, and in my notes, I wrote, what is with these men and instant penetration?
Yeah. But
it's a good side-by-side for later when Savannah's with Kenneth, who also sucks, mm-hmm. but seems more attentive in bed.
Allstate.
I know.
That's what I called him in my notes. I didn't know what his name was.
I kept having to stop and be like, okay, Kenneth, not the Allstate guy.
I was like, I'm pretty sure he's trash, so he doesn't get a name.
I kept thinking of all the ways you could make, like, and you're in good hands jokes.
Bernie interrupts her husband's meeting and slaps the mistress, I was guessing.
Yeah, I think that's who it is. I had mixed feelings about that part.
I don't blame her, but it also might not reflect well on the custody battle, as you said.
At least wait for everyone to have left the room before you smack her.
Yeah, no witnesses.
Come on, Bernie. You can't have a trail of evidence against you. You already burned a car. Now you're assaulting a person. Just don't get a paper trail.
At least that was before everyone had phones with cameras.
Yeah, really. They'd have to have that big on-the-shoulder video camera to record it. Bernie gets in a fight with John, her ex, and he, I guess, took all the money, and he's like, I gave you the house, so sell it. You want her to sell the home that your children live in? What? And then she says she started the business, too.
Yeah, shouldn't she get half of everything? Isn't that a thing, that you get half of everything that was created during your marriage? Because that is definitely a trope all the time on TV shows, especially since he cheated.
I don't know why she didn't get half.
She should be entitled to half.
That's a really good question.
Gloria walks in on Tyreek getting a blowjob and lets it slip that his dad is gay.
Tyreek does not respond well to this. He drops a lot of slurs.
I honestly forgot that queer used to be a slur since it has been reclaimed by the community. So when he said his daddy's a queer, at first I was like entertained by that. But then I was like, oh, he doesn't mean that in a good way.
I know. It's like, is he celebrating? I'm like, no, this isn't the same thing. When Tyreek drops the derogatory F word, Gloria says she does not like to use that word. And I was very happy that they addressed that.
Me too.
Doesn't stop him from using it, but he'll get there. I have a feeling his world is going to change a lot with this trip he's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Robin's giving a presentation at work and Michael corrects her. And she's like, I'm going to have to fire this guy.
I was wondering about that because later she says that she fired him and I was confused about whether she actually fired him at work or if she just fired him from her bed.
I think it might have been both.
Okay.
Also, I didn't know she like ran this agency and had firing power. So that was really cool to learn. Bernie goes to see a lawyer about her divorce.
This lawyer was in Lost.
Oh, it's been a long time since I watched that show. Rose Henderson.
Yes, Rose.
Played by L. Scott Caldwell. Bernie wants Gloria to cut her hair, and we learn that Bernie's been growing her hair for 11 years, and that's the same amount of time she was married to John. So another thing she's been doing, probably because he was like, oh, I like your hair long. And she's like, oh, okay, cool.
I had a boyfriend. I've always had long hair. I only cut off a couple inches when I was dating him, and like asked him what he thought of it, and he was like, well, I liked it better long. Back then, I did not realize that that was not good to say on his part. But I've seen a lot of TikToks lately about women asking their boyfriends if they'd still love them if they cut their hair short. When the relationship ends, they like shave their head. Like this.
I love Bernie's haircut. I think she looks very cute in it.
She rocks it.
The club, Bernie goes to dance with a married man.
It makes sense that she would turn around and do this after it happened to her.
Kind of like to get the power back almost. I mean, you know, he's there. He's not being like, oh, I'm married. It's the cheater's fault, not the person they choose to cheat on with.
It's not someone outside the relationship's responsibility to keep the sanctity of your marriage.
Right.
It is the two people in that marriage's responsibility.
I agree with that. Robin is hanging out with Troy now, and he smokes, which she doesn't like.
And she thinks that's his only flaw or his only bad habit.
They show up to this party, and everyone is white.
Yes.
Almost all of them are wearing white.
I love the white dress that she has on.
Me too. It's beautiful. Troy bites her butt, which I thought was very odd. Strike number two in my head. She looks miserable, but he goes off to go do cocaine and tries to hide it from her.
Savannah's on the phone with her mom.
Kenneth left a message. She's like, I know how he got this number. So she calls her mom.
Her mom says, all women need a man.
I think that's a thought of a different generation.
For sure. Maybe back before we could have our own bank accounts, but now, I don't think so.
We don't need men.
We want men. Not me personally. She wants a man. She doesn't need a man.
Exactly.
Troy wants Robin to meet his mom after only 3 days.
He's really manipulative, too. He's like, call her. Find out from her that you are invited and all that. And it's like, what? Why are you being like this?
Mm-hmm.
But then it sounds like Robin thinks she can change him, which is never a good sign.
Been there. Doesn't work.
Just leave. It's not worth your time.
Gloria and Bernie look like they're at a state fair. They watch an ostrich race and a llama race. They also ride some rides.
Aren't there camels there too or something?
Okay, I thought it was a camel race, and then I heard them say llama over the speaker, so I changed my note to say llama.
Oh.
There's a lot of weird animals there.
Not your average racing animals.
In this scene, Gloria says something about finding a new man, and what Bernie said I thought was really poignant. She says she just got away from her last owner and she wasn't looking for a new one or something like that. Do you have it written down? I feel like I butchered it.
I tap dance for a man for 11 years. I'm not about to go out and get me a new owner. Bernie says she just wants someone to hold her.
That's sweet.
But I like that I tap dance for a man for 11 years. I don't need a new owner. Because it did feel like that's the relationship she had with John. Was he ran her life, really.
Hopefully her next relationship won't feel like she has an owner at all. And they feel more equal.
Okay, so parallels between Girls Trip, again, because a group of four friends.
Mm-hmm.
With Regina Hall's character and Bernie. I can totally see little parallels. And I really hope that Bernie can find herself a Julian.
Yes.
Because I think everyone needs a Julian.
I feel like James from the hotel bar is her Julian.
I loved James' character. We'll get into it more. But their relationship is just so heartwarming to me. His relationship with Bernie, I think, is wonderful. His relationship with his wife, I think, is heartwarming in its own way, but questionable.
Yeah. Melancholy.
But man, he loves her. Robin talks to Savannah about how she likes Russell, not Troy, which, don't blame her. And her wallet's missing, which Savannah's like, I think Troy has it. Russell calls, who is played by Leon.
There's a clip of the four women coming out of church in monochromatic outfits. I loved it.
I did too. I love the outfits in this movie. They're all so beautiful. John drops Bernie's kids off, and the son doesn't want to talk to the dad, goes and gives his mom a big hug.
Robin dumps Troy and looks amazing while doing it.
Oh, she so does.
I love her on the balcony looking down at him. Because she is above him.
She's so far above him.
Literally and figuratively.
Troy shows up drunk, 2 hours late, to pick her up for this barbecue. And he tries to guilt her into going by saying, what will he tell his family and all that?
That sounds like a you problem, Troy.
Really? And then he tries to get into her apartment. She's like, absolutely not. And then he's really rude to her and then throws oranges at her and misses. But she throws it back at him and hits him, which is perfect.
Gloria meets her new neighbor and invites him over for dinner.
Marvin King, played by Gregory Hines, who was one of the most celebrated tap dancers of all time.
It's interesting that he's a tap dancer, and Bernie's line was that she tapped for a man for 11 years. It's like that quote, if I had a nickel for every time it happened, I would have 2 nickels, but still, it's weird that it happened twice.
I love that. Oh, it's Phineas and Ferb, isn't it?
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
That's a great show.
I love Perry the Platypus.
Me too. Gloria and Marvin hit it off.
I hate that she
makes a self-deprecating joke about herself.
About her size. Don't assume that he's not into bigger ladies.
He says he likes bigger women. His wife was a bigger woman.
Also, confidence goes a long way.
I feel like Gloria doesn't have a whole lot of confidence.
She should. She's beautiful. Big girl, you are beautiful.
Absolutely.
Play that Mika song.
We also find that Tariq wants to go travel with Up With People, which is a group that stages song and dance performances promoting themes such as racial equality and positive thinking around the world.
Ooh, I like that.
Bernie goes to court and John only has to give her $3,000 a month, but the mortgage is $5,000 and she's furious and he's just kind of a dick.
A $5,000 a month mortgage is so expensive. I know they have a massive house, but my God, that is so expensive.
And in 95, let's see what that would be now. Today, that would be about $9,815.
That's insane.
Also, why wouldn't you want to make sure your kids were taken care of? I don't understand this.
Because he doesn't care about his kids.
Bernie goes to the bar and meets James Wheeler, played by Wesley Snipes, who is also not credited.
Oh, I didn't know that was Wesley Snipes. I guess I know his name, not his face.
Same. And his face in 95.
He tells her she's a fighter. I really love this interaction.
Me too.
He's a civil rights attorney. Green flag. And his wife is dying of cancer.
It's very sad.
But they go up to Bernie's hotel room. He confesses his wife is white. I hope that he and his wife made an agreement that it's fine for him to sleep with other people because she understands she's dying and loves him enough that she doesn't want him to, like, be alone. Because he says that they haven't had sex in, like, over a year and he hasn't ever done this before with anyone. So I'm hoping that there's some unknown agreement that we don't know about.
They don't actually sleep together.
They just cuddled all night.
They even have their shoes on still. They're like on top of the covers.
Fully clothed.
She got someone to hold her at night. Maybe he got a little bit of emotional support that he needed. Kenneth shows up, who's played by the Allstate guy whose name is Dennis Haysbert.
He's married with a 7-year-old daughter, but professes his love for Savannah.
She's the only woman he's ever loved, and he still loves her.
Then leave your wife.
Really? We get a good contrast of her having a much better sex interaction with this guy.
I'm glad it's better, but she can still do better.
Absolutely. I thought of an Allstate joke.
What is it?
She's not in good hands. There's this cute little moment with Gloria, Marvin, and Tariq working on something, and then there's a sandwich, and Tariq's like, does it have cheese on it?
The girls celebrate Gloria's birthday.
And then she spits all over the cake to blow out the candles.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, if you're going to spit on the cake, do it subtly.
Yeah, she was really struggling.
She really was. They all help her out.
One of them says, we all have in common that none of us have a man. But does that mean Gloria is not with Marvin yet?
I felt like they never actually established what the relationship was until after Tariq leaves.
Okay. This is one of my favorite scenes in the movie when they're having like a sleepover, dancing and singing.
After Bernie tries to call her ex and Gloria's like, stop, this is stupid and childish.
There's a lot of candles.
There are, and they fall asleep with all of them on.
That is dangerous.
It's so dangerous. And Whitney Houston has this line, if you're ugly inside, you're ugly outside.
Very true.
Savannah's in bed with Kenneth and has this weird flash to him going to the airport and meeting his wife, which I thought was an odd choice to put there. But I guess it's like her reflecting on things she's nervous about. Savannah calls her mom. Her mom got cut to $57 a month on food stamps and has only $67.
That should not be legal.
No.
How do they expect someone to be able to eat for a month on $57?
I have no idea.
If you do the math, there's 30 days in a month, and meals three times a day would make 90 meals on $57 a month. You couldn't even afford to eat ramen for every meal. There's some article going around. The headline is, with rising food prices, maybe you should consider skipping breakfast.
Just like how if you don't eat avocado toast, you can buy a house.
Yeah. Or if you don't go to Starbucks, you can buy a house.
They have raised the prices at Starbucks, which is obnoxious, but still not enough to buy a house.
I have a lot of Starbucks gift cards right now, so I can't even remember the last time I bought coffee. I did get a free drink on my birthday.
Nice. I think I got one this year. Sometimes it's like, wait, I want my free drink, but I don't really want any coffee. I think that's how I discovered the strawberry acai lemonade.
Oh, I'm fucked up on the pink drink.
Oh, I got one of those once. They accidentally made one for the person in front of me, but it wasn't what they were supposed to have, so they gave it to me. That was really good.
I'm really glad that my birthday falls during pistachio season because I got a pistachio latte. They should have that all year round.
They should. Mine falls in pumpkin spice season, so I usually get my one pumpkin spice latte for free and then say I'm not going to get any more, and then I get more. I had Invisalign, and whatever they use for their coloring in it to make it orange dyed my Invisalign.
Oh my God.
Okay, so Kenneth told Savannah's mom that he was filing for divorce, so he's a big fat liar.
Uh-huh.
And we hear him on the phone with his family, and he's clearly happy with them, it seems.
Yeah, doesn't sound like he's getting divorced. In a similar vein, Russell says he's leaving his wife for good to Robin, which is also not true.
Gloria and Marvin are talking in her kitchen, and Marvin is all for Tariq going to Spain. And Marvin's like, I'm going to miss him too. And Gloria's like, that's not the problem. And then they get in a fight and she walks out and then he leaves. Russell comes over to Robin's house and claims that he's leaving his wife for sure. She asks him what took him so long, and then he gaslights her, and then he mansplains what divorce is. He's like, well, divorce doesn't work like that. You just don't sign papers and it doesn't happen immediately. It's like, okay.
Okay, Russell, but that kind of is what happens, so.
And then she asks if he slept with his wife and he can't take the pressure of it. And then Troy calls and she's like, I'm busy. Goodbye, and hangs up on him.
Good.
But Russell is like, tell your boyfriends to can't call after 11:30. It's like, okay, Russell.
Kick him out of your bed right now. He just slept with his wife and then came over here. He is such a hypocrite. Gloria asks the congregation to pray for Tariq on his journey to Spain.
That was so sweet. He's going to play the saxophone. And that's her saying, I'm okay with you going. And I was like, oh, you guys.
That was very sweet. The next scene confused me a little.
The Savannah and Robin scene?
Yeah. It sounded like Robin was saying that she had had an abortion, but then she's reading a child planning book later.
She had an abortion when she moved somewhere to be with a guy who said he'd leave his wife but didn't. Now she's going to have a baby with someone else. What is it with all these married men having affairs?
Yeah. Does marriage mean nothing to you?
Like, you made a promise to somebody.
Just break up. Also, there's such thing as open relationships. Just find someone who's cool with you sleeping with other people.
Exactly.
You don't have to hurt anyone and cross people's boundaries and betray people. Unless that is what you're into, and then you're a bad person.
Exactly. Bernie gets mail that her daughter brings to her I love this scene so much because Bernie's reading this letter from James, and it's this really emotional letter about how he loves her, but also loves his wife. And it's not that he's leaving his wife for her or anything, but she's reading this emotional thing. In the background, her daughter is saying, "Mama, is freak a bad word?" And she's like responding to her daughter and reading this letter. And I'm just like, man, it's impressive mom power right there.
I love that she doesn't seem upset that James loves his wife in addition to loving her. And I do think it's possible to love multiple people at once.
I do too. And I think that they seem to have a relationship where they have mutual respect and enjoyed their time together. And know that might be their only time together, but it was important to both of them.
The time span of a relationship does not equate the significance of a relationship.
Exactly, because it feels like that one night brought her a whole nother level of closure, whereas 11 years with that horrible man brought her nothing, except her kids, which you can tell she adores her children.
She had more connection with James over the course of one night where they didn't even have sex than she did with her husband of 11 years.
It's very telling.
Savannah dumps Allstate. That's yes. What my note says.
Time to go to State Farm.
Or Geico.
Oh,
could have a lizard, a gecko.
Allstate guy shows up and he's like, "Yeah, my kid has chicken pox and all that, but I got away from her mom as fast as possible. And you're the most important thing in my life." And she's like, "This isn't right.
Go take care of your sick child."
And then she says, "The drinks are on you," and spills her drink onto his lap.
Usually, I do not approve of dumping drinks on people, but this seemed like a pretty good time to do it.
I'm not a big fan of it either, especially when it's girls fighting with other girls and throwing drinks at them.
Yes, I take that back. I'm not a fan of women having drinks dumped on them. However, feel free to dump drinks on men any day, and I will approve.
Savannah fought with her mom.
I did like that phone call. Sometimes you gotta tell your parents to butt out.
I like that she calls and apologizes, and she's like, "I'm sorry I got upset, and I'm sorry I disrespected you. However, this is my life, and these are my choices."
Mm-hmm. I like the callback because it was sweet to see both of them be more vulnerable when they talked again. Because Savannah's like, "I didn't mean to disrespect you. I'm sorry, but I'm going to do what I need to do." And her mom is like, "I just don't want you to end up like me." And I think that's what influences a lot of parents.
I think they have lived their life and they want something different and better for their child.
But sometimes you gotta let your kids learn for themselves.
And sometimes what they want will be different than you. They have to figure it out. They'll only take your advice so far.
You can advise without pressuring.
And then also, I like the way Savannah handled it because even though it seemed like her mom was hurt, she acknowledged, "I may have said some things in a way I didn't mean them, and I'm sorry, but I did mean what I said."
This is still my boundary.
I thought it was a good scene. Bernie goes to court with John, and she got a ton of stuff, including a house in Acapulco.
It did seem like at the end of this case, after the verdict had been announced, John seemed not as aggressive. He seemed to have mellowed out.
They seemed to have reached kind of an accord, which was promising. Russell shows up at Robin's. So Russell's full of red flags, but like, you know, when they plant the flag on the moon, this is like his final red flag for me. He's like, "I finally got the bitch off my back," about his wife. And I was like, absolutely not. Russell's like, "Why are we having this conversation in the hallway?" And Robin's like, "I didn't invite you in because she's pregnant and she's keeping it and he's not going to be in the picture."
There's a guy on TikTok. His catchphrase is like, "Dump his ass." And that was all I could think of during this scene. Like, yes, Robin, dump his ass.
Also, she starts talking to her dog again, which I totally forgot she had until this moment.
I'm glad she has her dog.
Me too.
Her dog and her baby.
Gloria goes to make up with Marvin, and she wants to apologize for shutting him out earlier.
This is when I didn't like him. He didn't seem very receptive to her apology at first. He seemed very closed off.
I think he was hurt by, like, how she stormed out on him and seemed to never talk to him again. I don't think either of them handled it beautifully. But he does become receptive, at least, at some point.
Yeah.
And tells her that he loves her. And as they're making out on the couch and the camera pans to the window, there is a bug crawling across the floor. I was like, oh, interesting. I know bugs happen.
Was that purposeful?
I didn't see anything about it when I was looking things up.
Is there some, like, deeper meaning to that bug crawling across the floor? The birds and the bees and the bugs.
Oh, gosh. So then our end scene is the radio for New Year's Eve again, and they're in the car. No one is wearing their seatbelt. They go to have a bonfire in the desert. One of them says to Robin that this baby's going to have more than one mama.
Aww.
It was a very cute little New Year's.
I love that.
And it was just the four of them.
What a great movie to watch for Women's History Month.
Absolutely.
Women empowerment.
They all have such a nice arc in this movie. They all are these amazing women, and they have such a nice friendship.
I love that this movie is more about the love in their friendships with each other than about finding a man. And I think they all realize that they can exhale with each other. Our song pairing for Waiting to Exhale is Girl by Destiny's Child. Part of the chorus is I'm your girl, you're my girl, we your girls. And it talks all about a lying, cheating guy and supporting your girlfriends through that. Coming in at a close second for our song pairing was Billie Eilish's And Burn. The lyrics are, I'll sit and watch your car burn. Honestly, the best part of the movie is when Angela Bassett burns her husband's car and all of his clothes inside.
That's an amazing moment.
That is the scene that drew me into this movie, and it was as satisfying as I had hoped it would be. And she looked amazing doing it.
Thanks for joining us for Waiting to Exhale. Make sure to leave a 5-star rating and follow us on Instagram at Lovebug Club Pod for more content and episode announcements. See you next time, Lovebugs!